feel like I had church, you know? But I believe the Lord has some stuff to say to us. So if you want to hear something that God has to say, I'd say get a pen, get something to write with, you know, just like if you're taking down a number from somebody on the phone, you say, what do you say? Wait till I get a pen. Why? So you know what they're about to give you is valuable. It has access to something that you're desiring. So too, you come into the church. Come into church this morning and come in to hear what the Lord has to say. He has something that'll give you access to what you're desiring to. So get that pen out and get ready to write. Get your notepad, whatever it might be. So what I'm not going to do, I'm not going to spend much time on review just due to time. But we're in a series right now, and this is actually the last installment, the last week of it, of habits. And we've been talking about habits, and a lot of times habits, when you think about habit, you think of bad things, you think of things, you know, that bad, or maybe things that you do continually in your life, and a lot of times we try to break habits, or we try to create habits, and a lot of times our habits are, we try to create them because of the lack or the failures we see in our life, so we try to create habits of exercise, or try to create habits of this or that or the other thing. But habits are actually something that's created, and the definition of a habit is simply this, is a routine behavior that is repeated regularly but tends to occur subconsciously. And so often we're trying to create habits, and these habits we're trying to create are, as we're doing it from the outside in instead of the inside out. And God says this, he says he always deals with the inside first, and then he lets in, it's to come to the outside. We see that all through scripture, and we see it even in Matthew chapter 6. We begin to talk, we were talking about three different habits that the Lord gives us, three habits, which is interesting because just as you're a three-part being, each one of these habits deals with a part of your being. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body, but all of them must be dealt with. Why? Because when your spirit's dealt with Jesus, it sends you to heaven, but you're still here on earth. In other words, he makes it to where you'll go to heaven, but while you're here on earth, there's some things that got to happen, and he wants you to live in a place that's just what he prepared for, what he ruling and reigning here. So first week, we hit on a little bit of this, but fall in love again. Remember, we were talking about falling in love again, and John 14:15 said, if you love me, you will, okay? So if you get that, you know, and I would say you could go back and listen to all of these kind of like in an installment, because this is how they came about in my heart to teach on them. They all just like, they're just really line up on line to help you. Why do I want to help you do something? Why? Because the Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, he will reap. Galatians, it says this in Galatians, I think 6:7. It says, what a man sows, he will reap. So it's good for us to begin to sow the right things, but so many times we're trying to sow the right things instead of letting it just happen or come out of a response of what? Love for him. So again, and he says, if you love me, you will. Fall in love again. We talked about God wants us to know it's about the heart. And we talked a little bit about self-awareness will keep us from the Father, but our nakedness never kept him from coming to us. Remember? Week two, we talked about this. We talked about fasting. We've been in a 21-day prayer and fast. It's coming to a close here, I think, on Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday this week. I always say Tuesday. My wife keeps saying Monday. I'm thinking it's Tuesday until Tuesday. But and we talked a little bit about fasting, and we talked about how there's a prescription that God gave us in the fast that it's for our body. It's for our flesh. You know, if we're a three-part being, it's just what the doctor ordered. Remember, we talked about that? It's not if you don't, then he won't. It's if you would, then he could. In other words, he has so many things he wants for us, but it takes us doing some things so that he can move. The same way if you take this antibiotic, you can, you know, your body, you didn't heal yourself. All you did is you took that thing. If you would, then you could. Because he's always willing. He's always willing. He always desires to. So following those promptings on the inside of a surrender life, when the Lord says, hey, that's got too much of a hold on you, then what do? You lay it down. Why? Because it's just as the doctor ordered. You lay that down to strengthen your body, to strengthen your flesh, or so your flesh would be made weaker, but your spirit would be made stronger. Don't feed the flesh. Feed your spirit, you know, overcome something. And he'll do it because he's so good. He's preparing for us for things to walk in yet. So he sees things coming. That's our Father. And then last week, we talked about We talked about this. We talked about the secret place or the secret to living a life and of joy and happiness. And so often we're looking as God, as boss God instead of father God. Remember we were talking about that and how I believe we're probably good employees, but are we really good sons? Are we really good daughters? Do we recognize that what he's really, really after? Because this is in that he calls me son. This is about your soul health. Listen, when you know someone approves of you, most soul drama or soul is you don't know somebody approves of you, or you don't know God is for you, and because you don't know he's for you, you don't know that he wants to move on your behalf. You know, so when you come into a sickness, well, I just don't know because I haven't done enough. But if I do enough, then I can earn something. No. But if you know, see, that's boss God. But if we see him as father God, and listen, he's no matter what you did last week, your picture is still on his refrigerator. Amen. That's like that in a nutshell. He doesn't just be like, well, anyway. All right. So we understand that's the soul health. And you know, so many times this is a really a part that we talked about last week, and I want to kind of pick up onto this week from this place. But so often we look at the outside, and we become judge, and we look at how we're doing, and we look at how they're doing by what we see. And you know, our judgment will always be incomplete. Why? Because we look at the outside, but God looks at the heart. And this is how we say we're doing okay. We're doing okay with the Lord. We're doing okay, or we're not doing okay. And God might be saying, you're right in the place I have for you. Yeah, but I don't have this. I don't have this. No, you might be in the exact place and the right place that God has for you. But because we look at the outside of others, and we're not in the right place, but we're looking at the outside and everybody's doing this. And so because of the applause of others, we say, look, Dad, I don't need your help. I can do it by myself. Look, hey, look. And so we begin to take on this, our actions based upon the outward judgment. And the fact of the matter is, you can gain the world, everything around you, what you can see, and lose your soul. In other words, God is saying this, it's about the heart. Proverbs 3:5, what did he say? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Lean not to that which you can grasp, that to which you can see or comprehend or can make your own. That's what that means. Don't lean on that. Instead, follow what the Lord is saying. Listen to what he has to say. And we were talking last week about, it was about giving. It was about trying to earn his approval. This week, we're going to be talking, and the title of this morning's messages would be this, Heaven's Assistance. I don't know about you, but I need heaven's assistance. And so we talked about the heart, but then we talked about when you fast, and then we talked about when you give. But today, we're going to talk about when you pray. And oftentimes, when we talk about prayer, if we're honest with ourselves, I don't think there's a whole lot of people that go, yeah, I can just like step up to the plate and knock it out of the park. Like, prayer is the thing that I got down. Matter of fact, I think, I mean, I'd rather pray than do anything else in my life. Anybody say that? Not very many people would say prayer is the very thing that I find myself just always going to. You know, like, when I get up in the morning, I don't go back to sleep when I go into prayer. I mean, like, I start praying, it's just like, oh, my day's lit up. I mean, you know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Like, when you go to pray, sometimes it's like, oh, it's because God's peace is so great at that moment, right? Oh, the peace of God, right? But prayer oftentimes is something that we struggle with, and this is also the statement that if you would, then I could. Heaven's assistance in my life, and God's all about that. He wants to be involved at a greater level. And so we're looking this morning, again, into Matthew 6, and this is the second thing. And we taught on fast, which would have been the third habit, but because we're in a fast, we taught about that on the second week, all right? But so it says, when you pray. So Matthew 6, 5 through 8, let's read it. It says, when you pray, and so in this passage right here, this part, it actually goes through 15, but this first section tells us all what not to do. Aren't you thankful that in Matthew 6, he tells us, don't do this, but then do it like this. When he talks about giving, don't do it like the hypocrites. You'll have but do it like this. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. And he says, when you give, don't do this, but do it like this. We're going to look at what not to do first, all right? In other words, we can identify some of the places that we are at, and this is why oftentimes it's a struggle to continue to do what he tells us, pray, okay? Because we're doing it wrong. We're doing it wrong. All right. And when you pray, it says, Matthew 6:5, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And you'll find in this all of Matthew 6, he's highlighting your Father, your Father, your Father. And so what he says is this: don't be like a hypocrite. Don't wear the mask. Like, what he's saying is, don't be like that. Instead, go to the closet. Because out here, you might have to put on the happy face, but you can't be real. And he says, don't take off the mask. Take off the mask. And he tells us, if you're doing it for that and for them, your reward is limited to who you're doing it for. How many of you know what I'm talking about? If you're doing it for them, you're limited by them. All right? He says, I don't want your words. What does he want? I want your heart. Don't babble, 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 babble. He already knows all this. When you come to him, what is he looking for? It's fellowship, your heart, okay? And so we see that. And even why we're called this time of fasting and prayer is what this is about. It's about a refocus this time. And, you know, I know maybe not everybody's doing it, but here, let me just say this. I need you to pray. I need you. God would say this. I need you to do this. Yes. I'm asking you. Please, that's what he's asking you today. Please, why? Because he's a good father and he wants to assist you. If you would, then he could. Please, I'm for you. Please, I'm not against you. Please get me involved, because we gotta remember, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by his Spirit. That was a statement in Zechariah to Zerubbabel. He was went to go build the temple and lay the foundation. And Zerubbabel also brought the children of Israel back from the Babylonian captivity, the first one. And the Lord said to him, Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might. It's not by power. It will be by the Spirit of God. In other words, what God has prepared for you is bigger than what you can do. It's going to be by his might. It's going to be by his power. It's going to be by his Spirit. The things you're up facing against, let me tell you, 1, 2, 3 won't cut it. Not to bring the outcome that he desires and designed for you and me. 1, 2, 3 doesn't work. It's by his power. It's by his Spirit. So what I'm saying is this morning is I'm asking you to pray. But, you know, oftentimes we don't inquire because we don't require. Right? I mean, isn't that what it says? Like, we don't need God for these things. We need him maybe for that thing, you know, once every so many years that pops up, that's a big deal. But Matthew 6:9-15, we're going to look at this, and this is the how-tos, and then we're going to look at 7 things that are in this prayer of how to pray. Because he tells us this is how to pray. This then is how you should pray. This is Jesus talking. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. For yours is the kingdom, verse 16, I didn't give you on that. But what does it say? For yours is the kingdom and the power. Oh, you're awesome. Oh, no, that's not the one. Okay, it's a different one. It doesn't have it in the NIV. It has in the King James. Yours is the power, the kingdom, and the glory forever. His is the glory. His is the power. We got to remember that at the end of the prayer. In other words, that he has the ability when you pray. It's his kingdom, his glory, his power forever. All right? So let's take a look at if he says this is how you pray. Let's break this down. Number one, if you're taking notes, number one, if we're going to come to him, we must realize this, and we want prayer to be, or heaven's assistance to be a part of our everyday life. We have to see that this, our Father, It's not our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's not the first part. It's just our Father. If it's not, it's not even Father, it's actually the word Papa. If I don't see him as my Father, or how I see him rather, determines how I interact with him. Amen. It's so simple, but it's if I see him as boss, it changes. I got to perform. And you know what? If I haven't done good enough, guess what I won't do? I won't come. Why? Because I won't think I got anything coming. And what I do have coming, probably not good. So I better not come. All right? So, he doesn't even want our time of prayer. What he wants, again, what is it? It's our heart. Our heart. Hebrews 4:16 tells us this. It tells us to therefore come boldly to what? To the throne of? Oh. That's the throne you come to boldly every time. Our Father, the place you meet him, is at a throne of grace. That's the place. That's the place you come. But if you don't realize that that's the place that the Father wants to meet you in this place, that you won't come. You won't interact with him the way that he has designed and desires to. Our Father, our Father, our Father, meeting him boldly at the throne of grace. Thank you, Lord. And as I was talking about earlier, I thought that was a good statement. Your picture is still on his refrigerator. When you come, he hadn't forgot about you. Amen. He's so thankful that you came. Matter of fact, he's been beckoning you. You know, when we say our Father, what he's really saying to you is, my son, my son, my child, my daughter, you. I mean, he's saying Matthew. He's saying Samuel. He's saying Caleb. He's saying that guy. That young lady, I was talking about my own kids. Number two, it says, our Father, and then it says this. It says, hallowed be your name. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Number two would be this, worship his name. Hallowed be his name. Lift up his name. And if you're going to come in prayer, you approach him as Father, but we gotta worship his name more. You know what it means to worship his name? It means to magnify his name. We got to worship his name more. Here's what happens when we, you know why we worship his name? Because there's power in his name. There's power in his name. I want you to see in Psalms 103, 1 through 5, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his what? Holy name. And then he goes on to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. And he says, who? He's talking about who? You can insert the name. He says, the name, the Lord who forgives all of my iniquities. You know what he's saying? The Lord, my righteousness. There's a name. This is why even in the Old Testament, it gives all kinds of names of the Father. When we worship the name of God, when we worship the name of God, when we worship, what happens is it makes heaven a little bit bigger, and earth a little bit smaller. That's what happens when we worship the name. He says, who forgives all of my iniquities, righteousness, who heals all of my diseases, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals me. This is the name, Father, I worship you. Because even on my best days, I fall short. You are my righteousness. Oh, I worship you, Lord, because you are my healer. Oh, you're so worthy. I lift up your name, my healer. I lift up your name, the one that redeems me from destruction, the one who flies a banner over me. I lift up your name. Amen. We got to get a better picture in our mind of his name. Listen, the name above every name. Yeah, well, you don't know what I'm up against. We need to do this. Worship the name. Amen. If you worship the name, there is nothing else. We should not leave 1 and 2, our Father, and worshiping his name until we've met with him and our perspective of here has changed and that's become greater than here. You will want to come because why? You see that you have heaven's assistance already. Jesus, you have changed everything. He's not good. He has. It's my reality. Oh, Father. You have changed everything. You're my victory. You're my banner. You're my peace. He. Oh man, I just got lost my notes. There they are. All right. Okay, I wanted to read some of these names, the names of the Lord. I got so many, but El Shaddai, Lord Almighty, the Almighty. He goes on to say at the end of that verse, I didn't read through it. He says, the Lord who redeems my life from destruction. He's my redeemer. The one who crowns my life with loving kindness and tender mercies. Just victory in every area. Okay, kindness in every area. Victory in my marriage. Victory, victory, victory. That's Jehovah Nissi, the one that literally goes, you're about to go into a battle? But this is the thing about the one that would fly a banner. The Lord is my victory. The one that is a banner over us. He would go before, listen, before, like there's bullets that are about to fly. But he's out there. We got you.
Yeah, I got you.
You're going down. This land's our. We're taking this. And he's out before. He's not afraid. Why? Because of the name. Yeah. Every knee has to bow. Yeah. Oh, we talked a little bit about this in week two, about the one of the greatest roles of the Holy Spirit in our life. You know what it is? Conviction. You're saying, what? No, not condemnation, but conviction. He tells us this in John. He says, it's better that I go away because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And what he's going to do is he's going to convict the world of their sin. And you're saying, oh, what? And we can't stop there. And righteousness and judgment. What does that mean? Hey, guess what? I'm going to present evidence that you can't make it. But I'm also going to present evidence of righteousness, Jesus. And then I'm going to also present evidence to you about a judgment that there has been that something has been won for you. It's been finished. I have taken the keys. I have the victory. And the Holy Spirit saying this, hey, this name is my name. It's finished. You're healed. You're whole. You're peace. What? But we're going to have to lift up his name.
Amen.
Because too often we're living down here under the enemy, which he does what? He works through painting a picture for you and me and getting us to buy and lean on our own understanding. In other words, what we can see and what we can grasp. God, he's going to whoop our tail every time. Every time. Lord, Adonai, my master. How that has good plans for me, he says. The Jehovah Nissi, the banner, Rapha, or Raha, my shepherd, leads me into green pastures. Like the plan that he has for me, it's so good, so green, so wonderful. Listen, the path of the righteous, the Bible says, shines brighter and brighter. Your path, you can know this. This is what his name even says. He's your shepherd. He's your righteousness. Jehovah Sitkenu, there's so many. I love this one. Kana, he says, I'm jealous. You know what that means? I think that's the most powerful thing. I think one of the most powerful names, because I'm a jealous guy as well. There is nobody, and I told the Lord this when I was in third grade, Lord, and going into fourth grade when I was dealing with some things that, and I got into some bad videos at a friend's house, and it was like, I liked it, but I hated it because of how it made me feel, and it made me feel so dirty, and I remember telling the Lord at that time, I said, I want to marry somebody that's never kissed or been with anybody else, because I don't know how I could handle it, because it just seemed so wrong. And at that time, I just said, Lord, I'm a jealous. This is my wife. It's not your wife.
Amen. Amen.
And so much so that there's nothing that I would not do for that one. This is what he says about you. He says, that's the one I want. That's the one I chose. That's what, but you don't know what I'm, listen, he knows what he chose, and he chose you, and he's jealous, and he said, I don't want to let anybody have you. I don't want to let Satan run amok in your life. No, that's mine. He's jealous. Anyway, Lord of Shalom, my peace, the Lord of hosts, Sabbath, Sabaoth, he's the Lord of hosts. In other words, angels. He's given his angels charge over you. He's the Lord of all the hosts. Oh, I love that. All right, let's go into number three. All right. So we got to magnify his name. That's number two. We got to understand Papa, number one. Number two, we got to worship his name. Let heaven's reality become a little bit bigger. Number three, his agenda first. This is a big one. His agenda first. Do you know it says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then it says, then give us Your is always before us. When we come in, did you know God has an agenda? God has something that's heavy and is always on his mind. You know what it is? The lost.
Yes. Amen.
When you come in to his presence, remember that it's his kingdom. His. And you know, in Matthew 6:33, he tells us this, what? Seek first his kingdom. He says, I'll take care of all the rest. He knows all the things you have need of.
Yeah.
This is in the same chapter. But here he's saying this. Find my agenda. Yeah. It is the lost. Let me give you the picture. John chapter 15. What does it say? It says, and I gave you the scripture so I can just hit the high points on here. Found in Luke. I said John, I meant Luke 15. It talks about the parable of the lost, what, sheep. And so he says, which of you would not leave all of them to go find the one? And then after you find the one, he said, these the 99 in the wilderness to go after that which is lost until he finds it. What's the next scripture I gave you? The next one. He says, and when he's found it, what does he say? He puts it on his shoulders and he carries it out and he rejoices. Then it says in heaven, amen, there's a party. This is what he's about. It's about the lost sheep. Then it goes on to say, what about the woman with who lost a coin? Will she not leave everything? Will she not turn the house over, even into the dark of night, and get the candle and light the candle at night, and not quit in the dark? Won't quit. God won't quit in the dark.
Amen.
He'll light a candle. He'll keep on searching. If there's a child missing and lost, he doesn't stop. It keeps him up all night.
Amen.
I wonder why the Bible says he doesn't slumber. I think part of it is this. Yeah, he's watchful, but he's also mindful of everyone he doesn't have yet. Am I mindful of that? I got to be mindful. Then he goes on to the prodigal son. He tells a story about a son that comes to that is in the house, but then wanders away. And then he says the father is looking for this man, looking for this child. Listen, never once. I lost our little boy once. I was up in the office. I got a phone call, and Caleb, my youngest one, from the babysitter, I can't find Caleb. What? What do you mean you can't find Caleb? I can't find Caleb. We were living at our old house. We had a pond, a raging river because it was springtime, and a pool that was green because it wasn't warm enough to clear up yet. I mean, you couldn't see to the bottom. No cover on it. I get a phone call, can't find Caleb. We're in the middle of a meeting. Guys, we got to go. We got to stop. Like, we're just in the middle of the meeting. We go. It's like instantly everything stops. That's why Jesus said, the Lord said, I got to stop everything. I got to send Jesus. I got to send my son. I got to make a way. And instantly everything stopped. And as we get driving, well, so how long has he been missing? And well, like a good hour and a half. He's not, we've been looking, they're looking in the woods, they're looking, we don't know, you know, he might, you know, and so what do you think, the pond? At this time, is he almost two? He's right at two years old. He can't swim. I got an open pool. I got a pond. The creek is right there. There's train tracks. Never once did it cross my mind, oh, it's okay, I got two other boys. It's been an hour and a half, and you just called me?
Yeah.
How long was I supposed to wait? Before, like, what? And as we're almost home, we get a phone call. They found him. He had walked all the way up our driveway, which was a half a mile long, and was out on the road, and somebody picked him up. Just picked him up. Could have been anybody that picked him up.
Yeah.
Thank God it was somebody that was decent. I got a two-year-old little boy getting picked up by a stranger, and they call 911. They actually took him to three houses thinking it was somebody else's child, and none of them were home. Thank God. Because some of the houses that were there were not the houses you want to take a little child to. There's some deals going on a couple of the houses regularly. But when he was found, didn't they? Listen, well, why did you run? No, no. This is the Father. This is the Father. So, his agenda first. You want to know how to pray his agenda? We're going to share it on Facebook. But there's five scriptures that I wrote down about how to pray his agenda first. You know, just praying the Father's agenda. You can put the slide up there, but we're going to put this on Facebook so I don't take time to go over it right here. Put the slide of the five deals. Five scriptures, which is this, that God would draw. You know, I don't know about you, but I have some people in my life that I love with all my heart. And you know, the Father loves them more than I do. The only reason I even love them is because the Lord put that love in my heart. And so I'd pray this, that God would draw that person. Listen, I can't pray for them to be saved, but Lord, draw them. Let them see. Lord, I bind the spirit that blinds their mind. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the God of this world's blinded the eyes of unbelievers. Blinded their eyes. Lord, they bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. We got to learn how to do spiritual warfare. We'll talk about that here in a moment. At Romans 8, they would feel the love of the Son. And I know I'm supposed to be on time a little bit different because we're going to two services next week, but I'm going to finish the last few points, okay? All right. Because we're not at two services yet. Matthew 9:38, pray that he'd send laborers across their path. Ephesians 1 was to be this, to pray revelation, wisdom, and the eyes be filled with light, that they'd have that it would be revealed what how good he is, or the Father, what has been done for them. So that's how you pray his agenda, how to pray his agenda. All right, let's see. Number four is this. He says, so again, his agenda before ours, that's number three. Number four is this, pray that he would give us our daily bread. Depend on God for everything, not just the urgencies. The little things, you know. There's nothing more rewarding to a father than having your child, especially after they grow up. As they grow up, if you've been saved for a while, the chances are you don't bring your father the little things anymore because you can handle it. Chances are, God wants you to bring him the little things, even if you think you can handle it. So bring him the little things. Give us this day our daily bread. Number five, get your heart right with God and then with other people. You know what it says? It says, forgive us as we forgive. In other words, if I see how much he's forgiven me, I got to get my heart right with him and then right with other people. You know, one of the most powerful things you and I can do every day is make a decision when you first wake up, I'm going to forgive the people that I know are going to hurt me today. That's called forgiveness. That's forgive. That means you did it beforehand. Like today, somebody's going to get up and do something to me that's going to hurt me. It's going to happen. So what was my decision? Well, I'm going to get my heart right before the Father and see that he forgave me before, because he knows what's going to happen when I lose my temper with my kids or my wife or that person or whatever. He knows, so he's already made the decision to forgive. How many times should I forgive? Well, just forgive at the beginning. As many as 77 times 7. 7 times 7? No, it's much more than that, he says. Okay, let's keep going. So get your heart right with the Father and then with other people. Listen, if your heart is not right with the Father, if you don't see how much you've been forgiven, you won't be able to do it in advance. As a matter of fact, the Bible even says that your prayers can be hindered this way. All right. It's pretty cut and dry. Verse 14 says, then your Father can forgive you. Pretty cut and dry. Number six, this is big. We got one more after this. Confront the enemy. Not big like long, but just so important. Confront the enemy. Confront the enemy. What does he say? Lead us not this way, but deliver us. Confront the enemy. Listen, this happened recently, this last week. You know, we're in this time of prayer and fasting. You'd think everything is going to, in our house, is going to be like, ah. No, it's more like this. What? Get your butt over here. What? How many times do I have to tell you? What? I mean, and this is probably a couple days, right? And then we're like, and how many times during this couple of days we got to watch our tone. We can stop doing that. You know, I mean, how many times it's just like, okay, hey, don't do that. Don't do, you know, and so we're don't do, right? And so we're trying to like, because God's doing so many good things. It's like something just came over me. I almost ran over my kids with my truck one day. I revved the engine at them. I did. It's true. They were further up, but I was like, they were having an attitude, and I was pulling out. I was like, That's it. But I got to where I needed to go faster, but it was away from where they were at. But they ran. I wasn't going to run them over. I wanted them to think that they knew I was meaning business. I was meaning business. And that is, when I ask you to do something, don't have an attitude with me. Sorry, I'm getting red here. Well, I'm honest. And so I was like, and I had to take her, I had a football game that night, and I had to take her up here for a prayer and worship thing, and she's in the truck, and I'm like, oh, Lord. So we get into the truck, and I'm like, and she's like, what do you think? And I was like, don't even talk to me, because you were yelling louder at them than what just happened. Well, I didn't try to run them over, but I wasn't going to run them over. Well, they just, you know, and then here's, we had this aha moment. Do you think this is spiritual? Because we're trying not to. And like everything we're doing is right, but like all of a sudden, it's like something just came over me of like just I am going to lose it. I didn't lose it. I was this close. I didn't lay my hands on him, but I let him know I was coming. But I was so, and we're driving on the way to church. You know, it's a 5-minute drive from the house, and we're talking about this, and I was like, I know, this is ridiculous, because it's like, we know. Yeah. It's like, we just got to take authority over it. Yeah. I dropped her off, and I came back home, and I said, boys, pulling there, and I had a conversation with them, and I apologized. I said, we've been trying to not do this, and I said, I don't think it's your heart to talk to your brothers the way that you've been talking the last few days. No. You think it's daddy's heart to talk to you and act like that, or mama's, no. So we know that we love each other. Yeah, so what is it? It's like something comes over us. I'll tell you guys, this is what it is. It's spiritual. And as the enemy's trying to wreak havoc, listen, your strife in a home is the number one way where enemy can get in every other area. Bible says that where there's strife and discord, there's every evil work. Listen, we got to recognize what we're battling against. We need the aha moment. Aha. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know what? How he delivers you from evil is having your eyes opened to what you're fighting against. And he says, having done all to stand. He says, put Ephesians chapter 6, 11. He says, take the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And he tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and we need to learn how to do some spiritual warfare. And the way that we are delivered is seeing what we're up against. And when we know what we're up against, and we know our Father, and we know his name, then what we do is we use the name of Jesus, who I have the right, because I've been made his son. And I say, no more, devil. In the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of my home. I command you to get out of this marriage. I command you to take your hands off of my finances and off of my business. It's blessed. No longer can lack and the devourer run its way and have its way in my life. I plead the blood of Jesus, and I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. Because you know what? I have authority. And if I recognize what I'm up against, I know how to deal with it. But so often I'm fighting the things that I can't see with what I have down here. And the Lord says, no, I got a way. He says, come, take a yoke upon you. Take it, do it my way. Learn of me. And you know what it is? He says, I've made a judgment. And he's defeated. But I've set you far above. Guys, we got to do some spiritual, some spiritual warfare. And it doesn't have to be spooky. You think, part of the reason that so many people think it's spooky is because that's what the enemy tries to tell you, that you're going to be a loop and a fruit if you start doing this, and so you don't, and so he can just mop the floor with you and mop the floor in your marriage. Listen, if you're dealing with infidelity in your marriage and dealing with lust and all kinds of stuff, take authority over the spirit of lust. In the name of Jesus, you get out of my mind. I plead the blood of Jesus. This is the mind of Christ. I'm a child of God, and you're no match for me because I'm in him. Y'all can sit there and be like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, because I don't really deal with nothing. Yeah, right. Well, I just don't see no big deal. Listen, blinded eyes. All right, last one is this. So we fight. How do we fight, guys? In Jesus' name. That's how we fight. And then the last one is this, number 7. Release your faith in God's ability. For yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. 1 John tells us this. This is one of the most important scriptures you could ever, that you could close a prayer with. And that is this, 1 John 5:14-15. It says, and this is the confidence that I have. Why? Because his is the kingdom, the glory, and the power forever. This is the confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, I know that he hears us. Why? Because he's my father and I'm his son. And if I know that I ask what I have, if I ask him of anything, what do I know? I know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have. Why? Because his ability is greater. Listen, there is no name, there is nothing that can stand against the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Thank you, Lord.